Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
When I was in college in New England, Elizabeth Elliot lived nearby. And if you don't know Elizabeth Elliot, famed author and now with the Lord, but author of Through Gates of Splendor and Shadow of the Almighty and various other wonderful books. Her husband was a martyr in South America in the 1950s, and she lived nearby, and her son-in-law, Walt Shepherd, was serving as the education director at an Anglican church in the community, and he had a need for a Sunday school teacher for one of his classes. It seems that the students in that class were just horrible. And they were middle school age and came from very privileged backgrounds, and they were not cooperating with other teachers. And so Walt sent out a request for help, and I responded. And we met ahead of time to go over the problem and to discuss strategy, and I said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want to know what time those kids show up, and I'm going to be there before they are." And I said, "I don't want anyone to introduce me. I just want to be in the room when they show up. I want to know about how many boys and about how many girls typically come so that I'll have a pretty good idea of when the main group of kids have arrived. And that's all I ask of you is stay away. Let me work with the kids." And so he gave me the information, and I was there early when I went to the room, sat down at the far side of the room away from the door in a chair where I could see the kids as they walked into the room. I was all by myself with God. And I prayed a lot before this started, and first child came in and looked at me, and I just looked at him. I didn't introduce myself. I wasn't friendly. I didn't write anything on the board. I just sat there and looked at him. Now, bear in mind, I was a college student. He sat down looking a little puzzled, and he didn't say anything to me. He didn't ask any questions. He just sat there, and the two of us now were in silence before God. A few minutes later, another child walked in, looked at me, looked at the other student, looked at me, and I just looked at him. And he went over and sat down also. He didn't talk to me, he didn't talk to the other student, they just sat there in silence. This was already an improvement over what I'd been told. After the boys and girls seemed to have shown up in sufficient numbers, I got up, went across the room, closed the door, turned to them and said, "Who am I?" I said, "We don't know." And I said, "Well, who do you think I am?" "We don't know." I said, "Who do you think I am?" "Are you the teacher?" Put on the board, "Teacher, question mark." "Any other guesses?" I said, "What is my name?" "We don't know." And I said, "What do you think my name is?" "We don't know." And I said, "Well, what do you know about me?" "You're weird." I said, "Weird." What else do you know about me? You're a guy. Male. What else do you know? I asked them questions. They gave me answers. And here's where the lesson went. You can't know me unless I reveal myself to you. Now, just by being in the room, there are some things you can know about me. But you can't know me unless I reveal myself to you. Unless you are told my name by me or someone who knows me, you're not going to know my name, and one person's opinion is as good as another. But once I decide to disclose myself to you and reveal who I am, now the game changes. I said, what if I were to tell you that my name is Jim? Okay. And I said, how do you know if I'm telling the truth? We don't. And I said, okay, what if I said my name is Jim Wood and I'm from North Carolina? You don't have a southern accent. Well, what if I told you I was born right outside Chicago and didn't move to North Carolina until I was 7 years old? Okay, maybe. And I began sharing bits of information about me, my age, etc. And they were trying to figure out, is that true or is that false? Should we trust him or not? Here's the thing, folks. If God didn't reveal himself, then one religion would be as good as another. Because it's all just a matter of opinion. But God has revealed himself. And so now, the question is, are we going to believe the revelation? I pulled out my driver's license and showed it to them. And I said, now how many of you believe that my name is Jim Wood? And then I said, how do you know it's not a fake ID? I thought you were trying to build faith. I'm trying to help them understand what's at stake. Things are either true or false. And once God has revealed himself, then whether or not you believe, it's no longer an academic question. Because the goal is to know him. You can't know him if you reject his revelation of himself. So if you are serious about knowing the truth, you'd better start looking at the evidence and decide whether or not you believe. This morning we sang about believing in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Do you really believe those things? I grew up in a church where every Sunday we recited the Apostles' Creed. But if you were to ask a lot of people in the church to explain the Apostles' Creed, they would be utterly at a loss. Not because they couldn't recite it, but because they really just said it like a phone number. It was just something we do, just something we say, not something that we really believe. And what I want us to see as we are now in our second message on worship is that the goal of worship, and we said this last time, the goal of worship is relational. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just a matter of believing certain doctrinal points. The book of Hebrews talks about faith without which it is impossible to please God. And it says, whoever comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, that's not an exhaustive list of everything you have to believe. And that chapter about faith in the book of Hebrews goes on to demonstrate some other aspects of faith. But you have to believe that God exists in order to really have faith. And you not only have to believe that he exists, but you have to believe something about his character, and that is that he's good. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now God has revealed himself, first of all, in creation. God has revealed himself in creation so much and so well that everybody, everywhere on the planet knows that there is a God. That is an inescapable truth that you cannot possibly be a sentient being and not know. But there are a lot of people who claim not to believe in God. The Bible calls them fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Romans 1 tells us that everybody knows enough not to be saved, but to be condemned. All of us, apart from Christ, stand condemned before a holy God because we not only know that there is a God, but we know we've done wrong. Because all of us break God's law. From the earliest opportunity, we all display a bent toward sin, toward selfishness, toward pride. All of us are born sinners. And the only hope for any of us is God's rescue through Christ Jesus. God reveals himself in creation, again, not enough to save us, but enough to condemn us, enough to awaken in us an awareness that he exists. And then God reveals himself in his word. Through the scriptures, we learn more about God, which only increases our awareness that we need a savior. That's why all of Scripture points to Jesus, because the law could never justify us. The Bible says no one will be justified in God's sight by keeping the law. No one. No one. So creation reveals God, and we know he's there. Scripture shows us more about God and causes us to realize, woe is me, I am undone. I have broken God's law, and I deserve God's wrath. But then Jesus comes on the scene, and he is mighty to save. But I want you to see something in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 21. At that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Then turning to his disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them. To hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus says that in order for us to know God, revelation has to take place. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Well, some say this, and some say this, and some say this." He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." And Jesus said, "Peter, that's why I like you. You're smarter than the others." Is that what he said? No. He said, "Simon, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." How did Peter know who Jesus was? Because the Father revealed it to him. That's the only way he knew. That's the only way we know. And how does anybody know who the Father is? Because Jesus is pleased to reveal it. And in him, we see the exact representation of the Father. So much so that Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Wow. Now, God has chosen to reveal himself in Jesus Christ as one who loves us. As one who came not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. And Jesus, when he is asked to teach his disciples how to pray, says, "Well, when you pray, you need to call God your Father." Our Father in heaven, may your name be hallowed. If you want to know God, really know him, we know him through the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the fulfillment of everything in the Word. And he is the one through whom all creation came into being and for whom all creation exists. And so, when we worship, we need to know who we're worshiping because sincerity is not enough. Do you remember the worshipers of Baal in the Old Testament? The showdown at Carmel? They were very earnest. Jumping and dancing and shouting and cutting themselves, injuring themselves out of zeal for the God who is no God at all. And Elijah mocked them, saying, "Well, keep it up. Try a little louder. Maybe he stepped off the path to relieve himself. He'll answer after a while, don't you think?" I don't think we ought to talk about other religions that way. Well, first of all, he wasn't speaking to the unwashed masses. He was speaking to the pampered prophets of Baal who ate at the king's table, well taken care of by a demonic government leader. And in that context, he was mocking those who lead others astray, despite how sincere they were. Please understand that there are multitudes of people all over the globe who still haven't heard of Jesus. And we will not help them by deciding that, well, we need to respect other cultures and not try and bring our view of truth. That is a damnable lie. People are dying without the truth. We have the truth. We need to do whatever God tells us in terms of reaching people with the truth. But in Jesus Christ, we are now offered life. And we have the opportunity to take that good news and share it wherever we are. Wherever we are. But folks, if you are not moved to worship when you hear the truth of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, something is badly wrong. And I would urge you to cry out to God to have mercy on you and change your heart. Because when we see the zeal of those who are devoted to that which is a lie, it should cause us to wonder how we can be so blasé and complacent when we actually have the truth. We worship the God who is God. And He has not just chosen to forgive us, but to adopt us into His family so that we can know Him intimately as our daddy. That is reason to celebrate. And that certainly ought to move us to pray and to want to devour His word. I mean, you know, how much of the Bible do you think I ought to read every day? Imagine if you had a limitless supply of the most delicious, nutritious food and you could eat as much as you wanted without becoming grotesquely obese. Okay? And so you go and you say, how much of that do I need to eat? Pardon me? I'm not telling you that you need to quit whatever else you're doing in life and just spend the rest of your life until you starve to death physically devouring the scriptures. I am saying that if reading the scriptures is a chore for you, there's something wrong. We ought to come to the worship of God, prayer, reading His word, listening to sermons, sharing our faith, doing what He tells us. We ought to come to that with the enthusiastic joy of one who knows this came for me from Him out of love. Do you see how this passage in Luke starts off? At that time, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. Jesus, when He's talking to His Father, is happy about it. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. That should be the way we come to worship God. Amen? It's not drudgery. It's not compulsion. I've got to know. After all, God's done a lot for me. I guess I need to go, you know, at least one day a week. And, you know, I mean, it seems like it would be ungrateful not to go and worship God. Do you love Him? He loves you. He loves you. It's a joy. It's a privilege. This is wonderful. This is His word. We've got it in our language. Folks, we are so blessed. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice in the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because that's what the Father is looking for.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.